Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the producer. And in the studio with us today, we have Pete. From Scuba Board. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. How you guys doing?
Good, good. Good to see you again. And, of course, then we got Jimmy the Bubble Boy.
Hey, Greg. Great to be here again.
Yes, he's got out of his real-life job there for a while. Was able to join us. Going to man the chat room if you want to go there at scubaradio.com and join the party. Go for it. A lot of stuff to cover today. I've been on the road this week. Did a quick little run down to the Keys. Caught up with some old friends and... good things and bad things. There's a couple little things down there, or at least one in particular that annoyed the crap out of me.
No oil, right?
No oil. That was actually the good thing. That was a great thing. I thought that ignored the
crap out of you because, you know, it's tourists are covered in oil. And, you know, they're not living up to the job here, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, okay, Greece down, yeah, on the beach and stuff and on the rocks there in the Keys. Yeah, they were there. They were out there in force. But no tar balls, nothing like that.
Slime balls.
Yeah, I found
a few slime balls.
Did you see? I saw.
Well,
one.
Not Bill. He wasn't here.
I didn't
here.
See one, but I've heard of at least.
Yeah, I was busy skulking. That's why you didn't see me. But I was skulking.
Skulk balls.
The good news is there is no sign of any oil. You know, definitely down in the Florida Keys or anywhere other than you know what you've seen in the news,
except off on the
Pensacola area. Except on the tourists. And even like Destin and Pensacola, you know, they're still out on the beach. I'm getting reports that they're still diving out there too, Pete. Are you hearing that?
Yeah.
So
they're diving.
Well, the bad part about this whole mess is that I have talked to a lot of the dive operators the last couple of days down in the Keys, and they are feeling the pinch here because people are canceling their vacations. Because of this oil thing,
right?
And it's not a factor.
This is like people that cancel because it's hurricane season.
Right. You want to know a sad fact? We've had 150 people come to our Invade the Keys every year. This last weekend when we had Invade the Keys, we had less than 50.
Really?
That's two-thirds gone.
Yeah.
That's hurting the economy down there.
Yeah.
It's time to go diving, guys. Let's all go down to the Keys.
Oh, yeah. They had some of the best visibility, a guy told me. They're in 15 years in the Florida Keys last week.
I got to dive the Vandy for the first time. Oh, my God.
Yeah?
That was so fun.
Now, when did you do that?
I guess last Sunday.
Okay, well, there. You probably got some of that viz then, didn't you?
I did. In fact, you know, I didn't pee in my wetsuit, so I preserved it for you.
What, you saved your wetsuit?
I saved the viz. I saved the viz for you.
Oh, okay.
I was trying not to
make
it.
You can see through that. No, don't worry about it.
Yeah, but it's yellow then.
Yeah. Just a yellow.
Things are green. It's a green
like,
sea.
Yeah, but it's like a yellow filter. So, you know.
Green kinda, and blue. Yellow and blue, it's green. I'm
okay.
Telling you, you don't want green. You want blue oceans.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I had heard. And, of course, I went down there the last couple of days, and the wind had kicked up like this past Monday. And so I couldn't go diving. So I ended up catching up with some friends that I haven't talked to in a while and did a little run down to the Keys and stuff. But I was getting reports.
Of the restraining order.
Yes, despite that. The thing was is that, you know, they were crying the blues a little bit because of so many people and groups and dive shops canceling trips to the Keys because, you know, we don't want to come because we're afraid the oil is going to mess up our vacation. And you know, the guys.
So where are you going to go instead?
The Keys.
What are you going to do instead of going to the Keys?
They have a few options, unfortunately. Yeah. They do. They could go over to the Bahamas or some other place,
right.
And that's what's going on. But the reality is you don't have to. And,
right.
And you feel bad for the dive operators that are being affected negatively like that, or in South Florida, whatever. It's just bad publicity. It's bad media coverage across the country. You know, the one thing Captain Slate mentioned to me, Bill, down there in Key Largo, and you'll appreciate this, is that, you know, we're in Orlando, Florida. You and I, we're familiar with where the Keys are and Pensacola and Tampa and Miami. But, you know, you talk to someone in California, Idaho, is not that familiar with our geographic area. They think, there's oil in Florida. Oh, my God. The Keys are like 5 minutes from Pensacola, right? They don't necessarily know their geography.
I will tell you that as a case in point, someone who I was chatting with on Facebook from North Carolina asked me where I was from. I said, I'm from just outside of Orlando, and they said, do you have any oil there?
Right.
And I said, at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
But we're inland. Oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
Yeah, and even so if I wasn't inland, there'd be no oil here.
Exactly. Well, there's oil in the springs, man. I'm telling you. We're pulling up tar balls right and left.
Don't start any nasty rumors like that.
It's not
Pete.
True. But no, there's a very limited amount of the Florida Tourism Board is doing those ads where they talk about how many miles of beach there are
right.
in Florida and how few of them are being affected by the oil in any way,
mm-hmm.
Let alone enough to preclude you from going.
Yeah, and actually, I did get wind of some latest reports from I don't know if it was NOAA or the Marine Sanctuary people. They did a thing down there.
The ARC guy sent you a message.
The what?
The ARC guy, the Go Forth and Multiply guy, sent you a message.
No. Marine Sanctuary folks down there, like Penny Camp Park down there, okay. National Marine.
You mentioned
thing.
NOAA.
Yeah.
He's
kind of why I bring that up.
He's trying to pull a Pete, and it just fell flat.
Yeah, it did. He's still sucked into a stupid week on our boat show 2 hours ago there, so you got to give Bill a pass. But they were saying that even the worst-case scenario as far as the oil situation at the moment, listen,
okay.
they're saying that they don't think it's even going to affect the Keys now.
It's not.
And
it's
so
not, you can't.
Even if it did get sucked into this current and stuff, whatever, they think that now the way things are going – even if it did do that, it's probably not going to have any, at least definitely not any visual impact.
If I may throw two things out. Number one, I agree that it's not going to impact the Keys. The next time I hear anyone even peripherally associated with this oil spill situation using worst possible scenario, I'm going to kill one of them. Because the original worst possible scenario was that there was going to be 10,000 gallons of oil in the Gulf of Mexico. That was the original worst possible scenario, and it turns out they were a little off.
Well, yeah, but we're talking about worst-case scenario and how it will affect the beaches and,
I completely
and the diving
agree with you.
And stuff like
I just,
that.
I just wish they could say,
areas.
I wish they could say, based on our data, there's no possible way it will hurt you, and not use the expression worst possible scenario.
Oh, wait a minute, Bill. No, shh. Don't tell anybody. I always say it's going to be absolutely horrible because I don't want anybody to go. I know this is bad for the business, but I don't want anybody to go. When I go down there, there's nobody there. I don't have to share the boat with anybody. Yeah, I know.
Okay, the opinions expressed by Bill and James the Bubble Boy no way reflect my feelings about the Florida Keys because I want to be allowed back down there.
Or reality.
Or reality, nicely done.
That's Craig's new motto. It's better to dive the Florida Keys than the Panama Locks.
Okay, I'll go with that.
I'm going to go with that, too. I have to agree.
He wasn't even on the show. What's his excuse? He wasn't even here for the last 2 hours.
I was in the room, Bill.
What's
he
drinking? That don't look like coffee. His coffee's pretty clear, if you know what I'm saying. But
borrows it from David Letterman.
The good news is no impact. The bad news is, you know, people need to quit watching the news and getting all freaked out and canceling things and missing out on some world-class diving they got down in the Keys.
That's the real impact.
I do feel for my dive friends down there when they're dealing with this. Now I will tell you, on the up side of things, from a business standpoint, some of the dive operators I spoke to said, yeah, we're getting these cancellations. However, we're getting some last-minute people come in and filling in those holes. So they haven't, like, took it in the shorts totally. It's just, like, all these, you know, advanced bookings that they've been getting, you know, have canceled, and then, you know, 2 days before, they'll get a group that fills in that cancellation. So they're still running, and they're still operating pretty full tilt.
So the good news is...
they're busy.
The good news is they're busy, and the better news is that if you're looking to do something this weekend...
you might still have an opening.
Give them a call. Give them a shot.
Yeah, hey, even for July 4th weekend, some of the hotels down there in the Keys are open. And normally this time you'd be crap out of luck having any shot to even get a decent room at any kind of, you know,
hotel, motel, Holiday Inn.
Which exactly. Goes to show you, oil's well that ends well.
Oh, boy.
What's his excuse?
I've been around Bill too long.
No, I was going to say, he's drinking the same thing James is.
Yeah, he's standing next to me, Bill, and he caught it from me. I caught it from you.
He's just getting a contact high off the booze.
I understand.
I think that could be it. But yeah, you know, it was a fun little trip down there. I got some more to cover in that regard. I caught up with some old friends, actually. Talk about a small world. I'm staying at this little resort down in Isla Mirada called Ocean Point. And I stayed there when I was certified to scuba dive before I started scuba
raid. Back when I was a young man,
back
I remember Oil Pie.
That's right.
It was nice.
You know, 15 years ago. Before I even started the show, and I was, I did my advanced open water. I'd go and stay at this place, through the dive shop that I was working with at the time.
Yeah.
And they're still down there. They're still doing their thing. And someone mentioned, the
really
property
nice.
To me. And I was like,
I remember when this giant building was just a cottage, but look at how big it's grown.
All right, quit it, Bill.
You know, it goes to show you.
You're annoying me now.
They remember him. That's why he had to catch up with them. They were running the other direction.
They did remember me. That's one scary part. But the only reason was because the guy
like
who works
there.
Hey,
you look like a guy that used to be here that didn't have that gray beard.
Oh, boy.
They always remember Greg.
There are times when you wonder, why did you come into the show today? Why did you decide to come into work? You should have just stayed down
in the
Keys. I
think that's a contractual thing.
Yeah. But anyway, I say have the manager talk to me. It's been a while since I've been down here. Maybe we come down here and do a show or something. And the guy calls me up the next morning and says, hey, this is Peter. It ends up being a friend that had us do a remote over at a property in the Bahamas and now works at this place. So, you know, it just goes to show you how small the world is and how small the dive industry and stuff is. And you know, we ended up getting together over coffee and catching up and sharing a few old fish tales.
It is a small world, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to have to paint it.
Okay. All right.
That's a unique way of looking at things, Bill.
I'm starting to think Stupid Week is definitely continuing into Scuba Radio. We were doing Stupid Week. Stupid Week or Stupid Weekend.
Was this supposed to be different than the other weeks?
Well, okay. You said it, not me.
That's why I showed up.
Yeah. It's just we had some stupid stories to share with the listeners on our boat show, and now I'm starting to think that maybe it's going to make its way. It's seeped in kind of like an oil slick into the Scuba Radio show.
How about a non-stupid thing? Did you hear about the camera that was found?
You found a camera? Well, hold that thought. It's not stupid, though?
No,
this is like, what kind of, is it a good thing?
It's a turtle thing.
Okay, maybe it's turtle week. We'll find out after the break. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Well, like I always say, onward and downward.
Turtle camera story.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer, Jimmy the Bubble Boy, and of course, in the studio also we have Pete from Scuba Board. Now, you mentioned this turtle video story that you're going to update us on. Now,
It's not turtle porn, no.
It's not turtle porn?
No, sorry.
Well, by the end of the story, we'll make it that.
You won't be shell-shocked.
I will tell you, the thing that's remarkable about this is that this is, to my knowledge...
That's pretty limited.
The very first film for turtles, by turtles, about turtles.
No, actually, it's about the ocean. But it was directed by a turtle.
Okay. And it wasn't a turtle.
And filmed by turtle.
Wasn't it also a director of cinematography, which, and I should point this out, not a member of the union.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, it's going to be a long show. We actually did cover this story on our World of Boating show last week. And it was basically what happened is a guy lost his video camera and
no,
a turtle found it.
It wasn't a video camera. It was a regular camera that you could shoot video with.
Oh, okay. Okay. Still camera that you could shoot video
with.
And he lost it.
The guy looked around and it was gone.
Mr. Chairman, point of order. If it shoots video, isn't it a video camera?
Anyway, the guy was in Aruba. He lost his camera. He turned around and it wasn't there. You know, it's happened to
Stolen.
The best of us.
Thieves.
It showed up in Key West. And a guy named Paul, he works for the Coast Guard there. He's a Coast Guard investigator, found it.
Okay.
Dum, dum, dum.
And so where did he go to try and find out who it belonged to and actually where the camera came from? He went to Scuba Board.
Uh-huh.
Started a thread on it.
Yeah.
Started a thread on it.
Found this camera, and he, what, described some of the pictures or what?
He actually uploaded a couple of the pictures, not the video part because that would tell us nothing. But they said, hey, this
yes.
is from Aruba.
Do you recognize anything that was filmed
and
by a
turtle? Actually, someone actually translated some of the Dutch writing. Oh, this is off of Aruba.
Hmm.
And so they found the people through Scuba Board, which subsequently crashed our servers. We became popular for a day.
So this story, nice. Which was worldwide, this is a worldwide story.
It was.
This is Aruba and involved the Netherlands, right? Isn't that where
the
guy was?
It did involve the Netherlands.
Where did the guy find the camera in Key West? How did he find it?
In the water.
In the ocean.
He just was just floating around?
Yeah, they just happened to float. Most cameras will float up. Most spear guns sink. I found that out because I lost the spear gun.
Hmm. Okay.
But a lot of turtles won't go hunting, it turns out.
Well, the turtle went to bite the camera is what it looks like. And then it got caught on his flipper. That's what we're postulating here.
No, wait. Turtles can talk. Haven't you seen Finding Nemo? Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point. Hey, did your servers get crushed?
Are we going to have like a pun-off Saturday? Is that what it is between you and Pete Bill?
I will tell you,
seriously.
It is like that every time Pete comes in. This will not be a change of pace.
It was amazing. We had, at the time of our crash, which was the first one in about a year, we had 34 times the normal traffic caused by this story being run on AP. It was great. And we're still having lots of people come because of the story, because it's on YouTube. And it's got the Scuba Board link.
A lot of people come because they see my bumper sticker for Scuba Board on my Jeep.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, and those people come wondering if it's one of those, if you don't like my driving, call this 800 Scuba Board number.
I believe that.
They also call the Red Sox a lot.
Well, it is a good story, though. And I'm glad that you were helped facilitate find the owner of the camera and... And, I mean, did the guy who found the camera initially know about the turtle video, or they didn't realize that till after?
Realize about that till after.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did the Coast Guard guy figure it out? Did Paul figure it out? Or did the person whose camera it was find the video and say, well, I didn't shoot this?
Paul uploaded it. Paul uploaded everything because he was trying to find the owner. So he put up the pictures. He put up the video.
Any Aruba porn?
No. Sorry.
Damn it.
I do believe the turtle used the video capture mode to document the BP spill so it could make a claim.
He photographed all of the oil between here and the Key West, and there wasn't any.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Just clear water. So, I don't know. Interesting story for sure.
Water.
And did you hear,
background
speaking
music, don't worry
of
about
other news in scuba diving this week, did you hear about the wreck they found?
Whoa. Was it a swimming cow?
In the Milwaukee, up in near Milwaukee.
I thought it was utter news.
The Doty.
Oh. So they found a wreck in the middle of Milwaukee.
A freshwater wreck
in
the Great Lake.
Oh, in the Great Lake. I have not. We'll talk about that next.
It's
Plus,
pretty cool.
How to choose an oxygen unit. That's coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba. Scuba Radio.
dive into one of the greatest adventures of your life. Become a real treasure hunter. Spend a week diving one of the richest Spanish galleons ever to be lost at sea with the world's greatest treasure hunters and take home up to $2,500 worth of treasure. For the first time ever, the public is invited to dive the most famous shipwreck in history, Mel Fisher's Atocha. You'll go behind the scenes on a working salvage boat, recovering treasure and artifacts that are almost 400 years old. You'll learn firsthand all about treasure hunting and historic shipwreck conservation. You'll see the charts and Atocha's treasure manifest. Working alongside Mel Fisher's dive team, you'll have the chance to find your very own piece of history and take home authentic artifacts worth up to $2,500. Trips are limited to 6 weeks each summer, so book your trip today. Call 305-294-5441 or go to melfisher.com. Today's the day.
All right, so Pete from Scuba Board is in the studio with us today, and he's providing some stories that I guess have popped up on the message board, right?
That are not stupid.
Well, it's not stupid. It's not supposed to be stupid story week here. That was the only way to run on the boat show. I'm trying to change the theme for scuba, and you guys are sucking me back down here.
I said it wasn't stupid.
Okay, I'm just saying.
So 115 years ago,
yeah,
a corn freighter, really...
Right.
It was carrying corn on the cob.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Bill must have loved it. Was going through the Great Lakes and actually got to a big storm and sunk.
And sunk, okay.
And a fisherman in 91 snagged his nets at 300-foot depth. I'm not sure what he was trying to catch at 300-foot.
Corn.
Snagged his nets.
Yeah.
He was out fishing for corn.
Okay, remember, it's not stupid week. Give him time.
Anyway... They finally got around to checking out this fisherman's story, and they
from 1981
they found the freighter, the Doti, D-O-T-I, and they believe it has all of the people still on it. They think they know where the people would be in the boil room. They also had two cats lost on it, and the ship is completely intact. The corn is still there, intact, you know,
But not delicious, unfortunately.
A little soggy.
That's the kernel of it. Anyway, it's the kernel of truth and everything.
I knew this was going to be a corny story.
But anyway, I just thought that was absolutely amazing that they would find this and that they've actually dove on it. Using Trimix, of course, it's out of the recreational limits.
Mm-hmm.
But how cool is that? 115 years old, and it's still pristinely preserved.
Now, here's what's really interesting. They decided to take all the robots from the Gulf of Mexico and go up and explore this wreck. And see if they can make ethanol out of the corn.
The Indians call it maize.
Because that's why we're amazed.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Okay.
You know, I used to be blind, but now I can see.
Really?
Isn't that amazing?
People start pollution. People mm-hmm. can stop it.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting story. New dive
site. It's really not stupid week, is it?
Well, we're doing everything we can to make it so. But despite that, there are some other cool stories that happened in the dive industry this week. Jana Strain, do you know Jana, right?
Yeah.
We'll give you a little update on this free diving model next. Stay close.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba, scuba, scooby dooby dooba. Here we go, scuba. Come on.
Okay, I want to say, when I am in the States, I listen to Scuba Radio. The first radio devoted to diving.
Well, thank you, Andrew. All right, so Jana Strain, we met her, I think, about a year and a half ago out in California, one of the dive events. She's one of the latest and greatest new free diving champions. She is a model.
I distinctly remember meeting her.
Muy caliente.
No.
Out in California.
Very pretty girl. And we connected because, not just because she was a pretty girl, but she has a tattoo on her back of a mermaid. And, of course, when she saw the Scuba Radio Mermaids,
she disrobed to show you her tattoo.
No, that wasn't it at all. She got to, she just bonded with them instantly, and they started comparing tattoos and talking. Of course, we had a little chat with her, but she was like the up-and-coming, new freediving superwoman at the time, and now she's basically coming into her own. Have you been covering this, too, Pete, on Scuba Board?
They've been talking about it on there.
Well, I guess in Greece, they just had the Mediterranean World Cup for freediving, and she did, three or at least a couple records and brought home the gold, so to speak.
No CDs.
Oh, yeah, no. But one dive with fins was 210 feet.
Holy cow.
And this is freediving. This is just holding her breath. And then
apnea diving is the better way of putting it. Because they still charge a lot.
Well, there's with fins and without fins. And without fins, with no fins, she still did 161 feet. So,
did she do 161 feet and then put on the fins and do the rest of the dive?
Yeah.
I don't know. But impressive stuff. Congratulations to Janice Strain.
A lot of breath control.
Friend of Scuba Radio. We'll have to talk to her again soon. Dave's dialed up 888.
88 Scuba.
That's
888-88 Scuba.
Dave, welcome. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Greg. How you doing, man?
All right.
Yeah, I imagine you are. You got back in Fiji here about a couple weeks ago.
Yes, I did. Finally got over my jet lag.
It sounds like Dave is slightly jet lagged.
Yeah, I'm starting to. What's up there with that, Dave?
Dave's not here.
Oh, I'm practicing my jet lag. I was up at the expo.
Yeah, okay.
And I not only won one, but I won two trips to Fiji.
You won two trips to Fiji at the Tacoma Dive Show.
Yeah.
That is so you're basically calling to give me one of them? Is that the deal?
No, I've already got them filled.
Oh, you do? Okay. I didn't know. But so yeah. where in Fiji are you going to go?
The Benga Lagoon.
Okay, nice. Yep.
And going to Matava Eco Resort.
Oh man, are you in for a treat? Yeah, those are both excellent properties. I can't believe that you won two trips at one dive show.
Yeah, I won one trip. It was the treasure hunt dive that they do. I won the Matava trip there, and then I was wandering around in the show an hour or so later, and then they had a door prize, and I wasn't paying any attention because I'd already figured I was done. I'd lucked out enough.
Who needs a door anyway?
Yeah, and I was like, and then my buddy of mine goes, hey, I think they announced your name over the PA system. And he goes, I think you won another trip. And I'm like, yeah, right.
And when he heard his name, you went, yeah, right.
So I wandered back up there, and I asked them if they called my name. And they said, yeah, and they handed me another envelope and said, you won a trip to Fiji.
Unbelievable.
That really literally is.
You're unbelievable.
Yes. So did you go out and immediately buy a lotto ticket?
No, but I had guys patting me on the head and rubbing me, and I was like, do I know you?
Okay.
Yeah, you got to discourage that activity.
Yeah, really. That's not what you want to,
oh, yeah.
People like Janet to come up and say, hey, I'll be your dive buddy in Fiji.
There you go.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
You've heard us talk about our amazing adventures in Dominica. Experience the nature island for yourself July 9th through the 18th during Dominica Dive Fest. Buy 5 spots, get 1 free, and many other island-wide specials available. Scuba Radio will be there with mermaids in tow, and you should be too. Groups, dive clubs, buddy teams, or singles, everyone is welcome July 9th through the 18th for Dominica Dive Fest. Go to DominicaDiveFest.com now. That's DominicaDiveFest.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. Patty, the way the world learns to dive.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio, divers consumer tip number 156. For the benefit of everyone on the boat, please don't express gratitude by saying thanks.
Do you really not know?
It was funny the first time, but now it's really old.
Because it is a big deal.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. What's on tap for today, Nick?
Oxygen, Greg.
Okay, what about it?
Well, a few months ago, I was at a dive show, and I was watching folks come through our booth to look at all the different oxygen units Dan offers. I mean, a lot of people came through, and I realized that divers are really listening to us when we talk about the use of emergency oxygen and how divers need to make sure it's on hand. Since there are several options available when it comes to oxygen units, I thought it would be a good idea to spend some time talking about how to choose the one that's right for you.
Sounds like a plan to me. What's the first thing divers need to know?
I think the first thing you need to know is what components are essential to an oxygen unit. Like any other kit, options range from basic to the super deluxe, but there are a few standards every unit should contain.
Starting with an oxygen tank, I would imagine.
It's definitely a cornerstone item. Every unit should have a dedicated oxygen cylinder, and it's really important that they're each cleaned specifically for that purpose and filled with medical-grade oxygen.
No filling it in the garage, then, I guess.
No. It's important that the cylinder be clearly marked as oxygen and used only for oxygen. In fact, some countries have standard color codes for easy identification.
Given what I've seen around dive sites and boats, I'm guessing the U.S. is green?
Yes, the U.S. is green. And that's not necessarily to say that the whole tank is green, but there should be green within the color combination to designate it as an oxygen cylinder.
So I imagine if you're traveling outside the U.S., it's a good idea to familiarize yourself with your destination's color code.
Yes, that is excellent advice.
What's next on the key component list?
Well, a tank isn't going to do you much good without a regulator. And the regulator in an oxygen unit performs the same function as any other. Its job is to reduce the cylinder pressure to a compatible working pressure. When it comes to oxygen delivery, there are three basic choices in regulators. They are constant flow, demand, and multifunctional.
What's the difference?
A constant flow regulator is pretty self-explanatory. It delivers the oxygen in a constant, unbroken stream, regardless of the rate the recipient breathes. The demand regulator functions just like a standard scuba regulator. It delivers the oxygen only when the demand valve is activated.
You mean when a diver breathes?
Exactly.
And the multifunction regulator?
It's the best of both worlds. It combines the features of a constant flow and demand regulator. It gives you options and allows you to provide oxygen in whatever manner best fits the situation. It's also the option that gives you the ability to provide 100% oxygen to more than one diver, and it works with a multitude of masks.
Multifunction regulators are what's included in the Dan oxygen units, right?
Yes. We chose multifunction regulators for our units because we wanted to provide the option that served as many divers and as many situations as possible. But whichever way you go, just make sure your regulator is suited specifically to oxygen cylinders and includes a flow valve that allows you to set and adjust the flow of oxygen.
How about masks? Are they considered a key component?
They are. Masks play a role in determining how much oxygen is delivered. An oral nasal mask, for instance, can deliver up to 100% oxygen if used with a demand valve, while constant flow masks may deliver only between 35 to 75%. When you're choosing an oxygen unit to have in case of an emergency, Think about putting more than one kind of masks in the case so you've got what you need in any given situation.
Multiple masks also mean being able to help multiple divers, right?
If you've got a multifunction regulator, yes.
So, let's say I'm looking at a variety of oxygen units, all of which contain the core components, but all of which deliver a different amount of oxygen among other options. How do you know which one will be the right one for you?
Well, there are a few key questions that will help you find the answer.
Such as?
How far are you from EMS? Many emergency response teams do have oxygen equipment, but you'll need to provide the supply until they can reach you. Are they 10 minutes or an hour or two away? If you know the answer to that question, you can answer what size cylinder you'll need the unit to contain.
How much time can a cylinder cover?
That depends upon the size of the cylinder and the way the oxygen is delivered. For example, the M9 cylinder found in our Dan Rescue Pack delivers an average of 20 minutes, where the Jumbo D in our Rescue Pack Extended Care averages an hour. Of course, how long any given cylinder lasts depends on whether oxygen is being delivered at a constant flow or with a demand valve.
I'm guessing the demand approach lasts longer?
Sure. It's no different than a standard scuba tank. If you just open the valve and let the air flow out, it's not going to last as long as it does when the air is released only on demand. So if you have a diver that is able to breathe oxygen on a demand valve, the supply of oxygen will last longer than it would on constant flow.
What else do you need to consider?
You have to consider how many divers will be dependent on the unit. If it's more than one, make sure you have a unit in place that can support that.
What about the case that contains the unit?
You definitely need to consider that. What kind of abuse is your case going to take? Will your case be exposed to the elements? Will it need to be protected from movement and nature's elements at a dive site? Does it need to be waterproof or simply water resistant? You absolutely want to ensure that your oxygen unit is sufficiently protected so that its contents will be ready to go in the event you need them.
Anything else?
Just one more thing. If you plan to travel with your oxygen unit, be aware that most airlines will not allow you to travel with a cylinder that has an attached valve.
But if I remove it, I have to get it cleaned before I fill it, right?
Yes, which is why it's good to be aware that there are actually oxygen units available without cylinders. This travel version of oxygen units contains all the components except the cylinder, so you can take with you everything you need. A cylinder-free unit simply requires the extra preparation of ensuring a cylinder will be waiting for you when you arrive. And of course, you'll want to make sure that your travel kit is compatible with a waiting cylinder. So make sure you have any adapters you'll need, especially if you're traveling in a foreign country.
Is there any other scenario where you might purchase an oxygen unit without a cylinder?
Only if your unit will be used with a non-portable or fixed cylinder. Those are generally used for remote situations. So unless that's the case, or you're traveling by air, you're going to want to ensure your oxygen unit includes a cylinder.
I'm ready to go shopping. Is there anything else we need to remember before choosing an oxygen unit?
Just one thing. Oxygen units are sold with empty cylinders, and you will need to provide proof of training in order to get it filled. So make sure to include the completion of an oxygen provider course as part of your purchase plan.
I seem to recall Dan has an oxygen course, doesn't it?
What can I say? We're here for you.
Having emergency oxygen on hand is no longer an option. It's a safety standard. So make sure there's oxygen handy every time you dive, even if it means bringing your own. Do that and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671. This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Hi, this is Bob Talbot, marine photographer and filmmaker.
You're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And now, here's a guy with a perfect face for radio, and God knows I know what I'm talking about, Greg the Dive Master.
Yeah, that really doesn't deserve applause, Phil.
But, hey, you know, when an artist of Bob Talbot's character and skill level makes an observation, I think it deserves applause.
Well, look, I'm a realist. I understand that I have a face for radio. That's why we have Scuba Radio Mermaids. That's why you see pictures of mermaids on our website at scubaradio.com and not me. But
at a lot of events, people say, how come Greg didn't go? They just sent the girls.
Yeah, no,
I don't even notice.
I'm usually the one pushing him around in a cart or something and schlepping.
You get in trouble for pushing him around.
Yeah, well.
Good point.
But let me tell you something about the mermaids, because, you know, these girls that we have are more than pretty faces. They're free divers. They're
sponge divers.
Accomplished, you know, dive instructors. I mean, these girls are they got skills. They're not just a pretty face. And we've said this many times before, and sometimes, you know, it looks like it's just all for the sex appeal. But when we were at the Long Beach Dive Show,
yes,
this is how well the Scuba Radio Mermaid thing works on a marketing level for what we do when we're promoting our show out and about with our listeners and friends and things. We're wheeling Mermaid Tony around the aisles of the Long Beach Dive Show. And, of course, you know, the guys are liking it. You know, ladies are asking her questions. Some of the ladies' husbands or the wives of the male guys are kind of like looking at it like, hey, quit looking at that so closely. But then we're sitting there, and a little 10-year-old girl walks up to Tony.
This is going
to
end poorly.
And she goes, she just looks up, her eyes big as saucers, and she just looks up. She goes, do you know Ariel?
Ah, okay. And
so my point is.
What did Tony say?
She said, of course I do. What do you think? I'm a mermaid. Now, get away from me, you little brat. No. It works on so many levels. That's what's kind of cool about it. It's not just a bunch of TNA joking around and all that kind of stuff.
It's not exclusively a bunch of TNA,
right,
is what you're saying.
The kids dig it, and it's pretty nice. And that was pretty cool. I mean, to see that from the little kids when they see our Scuba Radio Mermaids. It's nice to know that they can connect. And
the little 14-year-old boys are also very interested. I wonder why that is.
No, they.
Are those puppies real?
It's a tale.
They're like, could I be a mermaid? Well, and then we instruct their parents that they might, you know, keep an eye on that.
Yes.
But hey, it's all good. It's
Mermen.
All good. Yeah. Hey, hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is on deck. More great stuff about Grenada. And some other trips that we have coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.